Leader!
Order! Order! The House will come to order straight away. Order!
Against the usual background of continued bickering between the two main parties, National and Labour, permanently at odds over their respective social and economic policies, there was an occasional glance at events overseas. The ongoing financial crises in the United States and Europe, for instance, prompted this question on Tuesday for the Prime Minister John Key from opposition leader Phil Goff.
Will he suspend or change his timetable for the proposed sell-down of state-owned assets in light of the current economic circumstances? If not, why not?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, there is no timetable for extending the mixed ownership model. The government has always said it will take this policy to the electorate in November, and we are not making plans before that time.
Mr Goff immediately requested permission to table a document proving that there was, in fact, a timetable. But as it was a select committee paper, the Speaker refused to put the request to the House.
This is a document that actually the Parliament has.
Well, I would have thought so, but the Prime Minister is obviously not aware.
No, we don't table those documents.
Then Mr Goff's deputy, Aneb King, asked the Minister for Social Development and Employment to explain why the cost of the DPB had risen by $200 million on her watch, prompting this explanation from Paula Bennett.
Mr Speaker, because there's been a thing called the global recession, and it's actually had an effect on jobs that the member may not have noticed, and things are actually been a little bit tough in the last 3 years.
And Paula Bennett's caucus colleague, Nikki Kaye, even tried to imply that responsibility for this week's London riots could lie with her political opponents across the chamber.
Mr Speaker, there are riots in London. The financial markets are volatile, and Labour have been distracted for a very long period of time. The fact is, Trevor Mallard is doing cycle races, and Phil Goff is more concerned with remembering which notes he had in a meeting and attacking senior public servants than helping the people of New Zealand.
National's Auckland Central MP was speaking in Wednesday's general debate, while Annette King also had this week's London riots in mind when putting this question to the Prime Minister the next day on Thursday.
What advice has he sought about the likelihood of social disharmony occurring in New Zealand as a result of high youth unemployment and disconnection, given the unrest that's occurred in Britain in recent days, and which British commentators are saying arose from young unemployed people?
Mrs King's question was answered on the Prime Minister's behalf by his deputy.
The Honourable Bill English.
Well, Mr Speaker, what erodes the confidence of young people in a community is false hope. The false hope that that badly managed government programs and borrowed and an economy fueled by borrowing will give them sustainable jobs. And that's why so many young people are pleased with this government, which in a realistic and effective way is rebuilding their confidence in the economy.
Mr English also saw his third budget as National's Finance Minister clear its final hurdle in the Chamber on Wednesday.
Mr Speaker, I move that the Appropriation 2011-12 Estimates Bill be now read a third time.
Mr English said a feature of his third budget was its continuing pursuit of two objectives.
One has been to protect the vulnerable through tough times.
That had meant maintaining and growing public services and income support, while the second goal had involved delivering policies to undo imbalances that had built up during the past decade.
And laying the platform for higher incomes and more jobs for New Zealanders through a better performing economy over the next 10 years. And those decisions have taken account of the way in which the world has changed. Even since the middle of 2008.
And the majority for Mr English's first budget in that year remained rock solid for his third this year, which passed its third reading on Wednesday night by 67 votes to 53. National supported by its allies in the chamber, ACT, the Maori Party and Peter Dunn, all bound by formal agreements to vote with the government on questions of confidence and money supply, the opposition comprising all other parties except Mana, which didn't vote. Talking of money supply, the appropriation bill for this financial year went through with the second impress supply bill for the year, giving the government another tranche of money to spend. Also passed this week, the Electoral Administration Amendment Bill No. 2, completing the third stage of the government's gathering of the conduct of elections under one agency, and three bills that were split out from the Child and Family Protection Bill. Now, for a look at the week ahead, here's the acting Leader of the House, Chris Finlayson.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, 16 August,
the government intends to move the first reading of the Legal Assistance Sustainability Amendment Bill and the second reading of the Biosecurity Law Reform Bill. The government then intends to move that urgency be accorded to the passage of a number of bills requiring timely implementation.
So it looks like next Wednesday's Members' Day could be shunted aside, creating new uncertainty for the future of Heather Roy's Members' Bill abolishing compulsory membership of student unions. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.